It's time for America's most unique motorsport show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products, made in America, sold to the world.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the RBN studio, Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome to the show, everybody. We've got a really good show lined up for you. You know, we talked Chili Bowl yesterday. We're going to talk sheet metal today. Mike Muller is going to join us. He picked up the win out at the Western Wild West Shootout. The Tennessee driver is going to join us here a little bit later in the show. And we're also going to have Trenton Barry on. From RacingDirt.com, a lot of things going on over at Racing Dirt. They're going to be expanding into sprint car racing this year. So we'll talk to Trenton Barry about all of that here in just a little bit. We've got Austin O'Neill and my good buddy Todd Surprise, who's been with us now at Racing Boys for, gosh, Todd, how long have you been here? About 10 years now? Is that how long it's been?
Number 10.
Number 10. Hey, bud, what do you think about our Chiefs? You think they got a chance this weekend?
I'm a little nervous. I'm not going to lie. Some of the statistics I was listening to on from 810 on the way over here, I'm a little nervous.
You know, the guys at 810, and we do a show on Sports Radio 810 WHB every Saturday. We've done it for 24 years. Todd's been here 10 of those years. Our friends over there that do the morning show, the midday show, and the afternoon show, They're a little nervous about us playing Buffalo, and rightly so. Their quarterback is pretty damn good. If you want to, be brutally honest, and to be honest with you, I'm not sure the Chiefs are going to be able to pull it off. But we'll be pulling for them, and hopefully they'll pick up the victory this Sunday. That's a 6:30 game, I believe. That's on Fox, if I'm not mistaken. So it should be a good game. Can't wait to watch that, and looking forward to watching a lot of NFL playoffs this year. So looking forward to that, as we're going to get Trenton Barry on now. Trenton Barry joins us on the show right now. Trenton, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, man. I'm great. How are you?
Have you recovered from your trip down there to Las Cruces yet?
So I slept an hour and a half.
Yeah.
In Dylan McCowan's race hauler with their crew at a rest stop, the last rest stop in Texas, headed across I-40 across Oklahoma. I slept an hour and a half, an hour and 40 minutes. I slept from 6:50 to 8:30 a.m. other than that, I drove all night, and I got home yesterday evening, saw the wife and the little boy. We had some stuff to do, so I was home a little bit later than, if I'd have just driven straight through. But, yeah, man, I'm good. That's you can't be all over the country if you're not all over the country, right?
Right. Now, I know all about that. Now, you were out there for 10 days. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think it was actually one more, because I left the Thursday before it started, and they practiced on Friday. So, yeah, I didn't exactly do them. I think it was 11 or 12 days, but... yeah, it was quite a deal, for sure.
Now, not all of those days. Did you take a little vacay time while you were out there? Did you go out and explore Las Cruces, El Paso? Did you get around and go around and check out the scenery a little bit?
So, listen, here's the best thing out there, in my opinion, Scott. And you're an eater, kind of like I am.
Right.
I absolutely love this. So there's all kinds of Mexican restaurants out there, and they're just fantastic. But I feel like there's one that stands head and shoulders above the rest of them, and it's this place called La Posta that's out there. It's out in Mesilla Park, and it's kind of a old cobblestone deal. It's really neat. The little district there, or whatever they call it, is set up so nice, and I actually went and ate lunch there 5 times while I was out. So that's how good that was over that whole time. And it was fantastic. I also went to, and you know this too, you know my love for sports and just right. Random games and arenas and places. And New Mexico State happened to be home on that Thursday night, and we were off. So I went to that basketball game, and that was great. I'd never been in that arena Had never seen any of either of those two teams play. New Mexico State's actually really good. They won the game, and they're at 14-2 now, so that's a pretty good shot to, you know, if they just fall on their face, probably make the NCAA tournament. So that'd be cool to say that you saw a tournament team play.
Yeah,
but the game was really good. I had a fun time on the last off day.
Trenton, have you noticed when you're down there in all the Mexican restaurants that are all over the place down there, have you ever noticed that there's not a lot of hot sauce at those Mexican restaurants? Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah, so what was funny was I asked them the first day, I said, hey, can we get a hot salsa? And she said, well, sir, this is our only salsa.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay. So what was crazy, though, when you order the queso there at this place, this La Posta place, they bring it out, and their house queso has green chilies in it, which is just fantastic. I mean, I've never had that in the Midwest anywhere in my queso.
Has it got a little?
I guess I've never asked for it, but that's the standard. You know, that's their standard offering there, which was terrific. And they bring it out with corn tortillas. I mean, we're about to hit a fat guy's delight here if we're just talking honest. And so they didn't have the hot salsa, but what I did order while I was out there, you could order a grilled jalapeno as like a side item.
Mm.
So they would grill nice. You up a fresh jalapeno. And I'm telling you, there was one of those days out there. I had one of those. It was so hot. It was unreal.
Yeah. Let me tell you a little story one time. Scotty Cook and I were down at Cook Paul Speedway in Yuma, Arizona. And we went down to the border. There's a friend of ours that was out there, Paul, real good friend of mine, checks in with me from time to time out there at Cook Paul. He says, listen, there's this little Mexican restaurant. It's behind a building. And it really what it was somebody's house. Right. And they
okay.
and they cook the food outside in the garage. And so Scotty and I, we wander on down there. It's about dark. Right. It's just getting dark out. Mm-hmm. And we back in and we're looking at this place. And Scotty Cook goes, I'm not getting out of this truck. There's no way I'm getting out of this truck. This is a sketchy neighborhood that we're in, right? So I finally, after sitting there for about 20 minutes, I talk Scotty into getting out, going in there. And when we go in, they make these burrito things. It's just a tortilla with some meat in it, right? And we ask for some mm-hmm. condiments, you know, do you have any salsa? Do you have any lettuce? No lettuce, no salsa, no nothing, right? All you get is the burrito with the meat in it, and that's it. It was the
it was the
best burrito I'd ever had. It was unbelievable.
So they did something there, and I tried several different things. They serve their enchiladas pancake style, so your shells are flat.
Really?
And they had this one that they called the sour cream enchilada, and they put chicken and either red or green chili sauce, and they stacked them on every layer, and it was like three or four layers. I mean, it was holy smokes good. And their steak and their steak fajitas was a little bit different than their other steak offerings. They had special steak for their fajitas. And I found all this out because the manager at La Posta also runs the new Impact scoreboard that David Goodson's crew just installed out there in turn two. So he runs that board. That's his job on race days, and the guy loves racing. So it was a weird, cool, full circle. It just felt like we were just kind of where we needed to be, you know?
Yep. Hey, you know, we always talk about Lucas Oil Speedway, the Diamond of Dirt Tracks, but Valdo Speedway, tell us about that facility and what Royal's done with that place. It is a gym, isn't it?
Oh, man. It's basically on point with everything that Wheatland has. I mean, they pretty well match them step for step.
Mm.
So the pits aren't paved, but there are the concrete pit, the slabs, you know, the concrete slabs, like
right.
You pull the trailer up and unload the car on the concrete slab. So there are several of those there. Short of that, I mean, racetrack wise, facility wise, midway wise, they're on point with absolutely everything that Wheatland has
yep.
in every facet. It's that place is wild. I I knew that it was going to be nice. You know, I did talk to Royal when we were out at Southern New Mexico Speedway.
And right.
Man, I've had a lot of trips out there over the years. I was thinking about that while I was driving. But I didn't quite grasp that it would be on that level that it was. And then you see that how good the racetrack is on top of all that. And it's, man, that place is the complete package. It's it's unbelievable. There is not one single thing. Like if you ask me, hey, what does that racetrack lack?
Nothing.
I can't tell you one thing that the place needs.
Right. Well, you know, so, Royal, he's always an overachiever in everything that he does, right? I mean, you just look at him as a successful businessman and what he has done down there as well. You know, I was a little disappointed when they closed down the old Las Cruces racetrack and they started to build the new one. But from what everybody tells me, you know, Scotty Cook was down there working last year. He just says it's an unbelievable facility.
Yeah. Some of the locals said they really liked that racetrack a lot, you know, and that racetrack was neat because, you know, it had a lot of character to it and it had a pretty decent amount of history too, you know, over the years and lots of neat things that happened there. And I love that racetrack too. It was good.
Yeah.
But man, he has built a show place. I don't know. I don't know that I'm even qualified to try to rank it, you know, facility racetrack wise, but shoot, it has to be a top. It's got to be a top 10 in America.
Wow.
I mean, I don't see how it couldn't be, you know?
Right. We're visiting with Trenton Berry from racingdirt.com. Was it a little chilly down there this year?
A few nights. The first Sunday was pretty miserable.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much the air temperature, the air temperature was cool. So to say that didn't have an effect. I don't sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but it was the wind that just didn't stop on Sunday. The cool air wasn't really that big of a deal, but the wind on Sunday made that first Sunday night pretty miserable. But beyond that, no, it wasn't bad at all. And the daytime temperatures were really good almost every day. There was no rain while we were out there.
Yeah.
So, I didn't have any big problem with it at all. I had a little portable propane heater that I brought with me in the last couple of days. I used that, and that made it kind of nice. But
yeah,
that it certainly was. It was just a luxury for doing the job. It wasn't a necessity, you know. So I had a great time, man. I tell you this, and you know this all too well. You know, I wake up every day working on something for Racing Dirt. You know, not all day every day, right, but at least something every day. You know, it was really relaxing for me personally to just go sign in, get my pit pass, and work on a crew. And I really enjoyed that. You know, there was a good crew that was working there, and to not have that mountain of pressure and stress personally on me was wild. You know, I haven't experienced that a lot in the last 10, 11 years. So, some people might think that's kind of crazy, but I actually really enjoyed the aspect of just going and working and doing my job.
Man, it was a busy 2 weeks for Flo, wasn't it?
Oh boy. Yeah.
Yeah. You think about everything they were doing
insane.
At the shootout, the Chili Bowl, the Wild West shootout. There's a lot going on, a lot of moving parts. And, you know, I just tell people this all the time. If you're going to buy one membership, you need to buy the Flow, because they're going to have 1,800 races this year. 1,800 races. Trenton, you're in this business. Just think about that for a second. 1,800 races. That's mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And the beyond that, the organization to actually implement that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no.
That's almost beyond me, you know. But you know, there's an army of really talented people that are there. You know, people you and I have known and worked with for a decade or more, and it's pretty wild to see where. You know, I thought all along if somebody was to ever go buy multiples, that it could be pretty strong for the industry.
Right.
I would be lying if I told you that I thought racing was in as good a shape as it is right now, because we flash back and are having this conversation in 2018, 2019.
Yep.
I'd tell you not a chance, and I would have been dead wrong.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of with you. You know, who would have ever figured it would have moved in this direction, and so many big players in this sport. It's unbelievable, to be honest with you. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Wild West Shootout. Mike Mahler picked up the victory down there on Sunday, $25,000, and he got a $3,000 bonus, $28,000. Not a bad payday.
No, it wasn't. He was good. I think I interviewed him after heat races. I think he won all of them, or all but one. Every single night he was out there. He won the Saturday night feature, which was Saturday night was their tribute to CJ Rayburn, who passed away. And Mikey was really close with him. Come to find out, I didn't have a huge knowledge base there ahead of that, but I knew he had raced for him, but I didn't really realize that they were still in regular communication daily. Mm. And so that was pretty special to Mike as well. And, man, he looks tough. You know, was it a Lucas Oil World of Outlaws field front to back? No, but it had enough players that if you were off, you weren't going to compete. So, he definitely showed up and showed out. It was impressive to see how well he did and how well he ran all week. Really, he was good every single night.
You know, it seems like he shows up for the big money races. You know what I mean? I go back and I look at his career. You know, I don't follow the late models near as much as I do the open wheel guys, but I went back and checked. You think about the money that he's won at Knoxville. You know, he's the
only guy that's won three of those.
Right. And those pay like 50 grand, don't they?
40-50 grand, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Real money.
I think they might be a 50 now. Yeah, oh yeah, lots of money.
Yeah, he's won that. He won that.
He's really good there.
He won that in 16, 17, and 21, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, the thing that impressed me the most, I know that this weekend wasn't a full-blown Lucas Oil late model race, but I go back and I look at the World 100, where he came from 20s, he had to come out of the B, right? He came out of the B, started 26th, and he runs second in the World 100 at Eldora. Now, who does that? How many guys can work their way through the field of a quality field at the World 100 and start 26th and run second? Not many people can do that.
Not many. You know, Scott had to go to the back the 1 year and raced all the way back, and he famously said afterwards that everybody got to watch the fastest car in the world. And that was, that's something that's always stuck with me in only a way that Scott Blomquist could coin that, you know? And, but yeah, to watch Marler's a treat. And you know what? He's a super guy on top of that. He's jovial. He's happy. He's good to people, good with fans. And you know, undoubtedly it's a lot easier to be nice when things are rolling well, right? And a lot more happy to be there. But the guys I talked to said that he's always that way. You know, even when he's struggling, it doesn't really look like he's struggling. So it was a treat. You know, Tyler Erb was really good too. Garrett Alberson was really good. Shepard was very good, and Earl Pearson Jr. He raced all week, and he raced like he was 25 years old again. Right. Up off the bottom and hammer down, and he was awesome all week as well.
You know who really impressed me, though he didn't get the win, he ended up running third, was Jake Timm. That guy is a wheel man.
So I got a crazy take, and we'll never know if it's right or wrong. That yellow doesn't come out, he wins that race.
I think so too.
I really do. I honestly believe that. You know, and they asked me, Dustin asked me, he said, kind of a blessing because he'll be in open air, you know, and no traffic in front of him. And I said, yeah, but I said, I'm not with you on that one, because I said, you take a young driver that's about to accomplish the biggest thing he's ever accomplished. I said, it's rhythm, and it's momentum, it's timing. And I said, all that's been broken now. And I said, those last few laps, I said, he had really settled in, and he was just replicating lap after lap after lap. And you had to watch for the slide job on the restart. And ultimately that was his undoing. He ran a great race, super proud of how well he ran. Have watched Jake race for years and years and years. And he did a fantastic job in that race. To even hang on for third was just a heck of an accomplishment.
Yeah. What is Jake's background? Did he come out of the modified ranks before he went to LA?
Yep, he did. Yeah. He did. His family owns Mississippi Thunder Speedway in Wisconsin.
I see.
His dad Bob raced for years and years. His dad Bob was actually the all-time modified wins leader at Deer Creek, and I don't know if that's been eclipsed yet or not, but he was for the longest time, might still be. I haven't followed up on that lately, but Jake is a machinist. So the family owns this company called Oak Ridge Fabrication in Winona, Minnesota, and it's a CNC machines just all over in the place. And they bought out the assets of Sputz Racing Engines when they sold here a few years back, and they got in the back of their shop. Turned it into an engine shop. Jake manages the engine shop. It's called OFI Performance, and Jake is a machinist and a motor man. It's what they do day to day. So, yeah, he's good, and he's got a lot of talents beyond the seat of that race car, and he's pretty solid racer, and he's showing himself pretty well right now.
Was he that successful in a modified compared to the late model?
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah. He won several USMTS races. He's won 4, 5, 6 USMTS races, I believe.
Mm,
I if I'm not mistaken, he's ran. I don't have the wins list right up here in front of me, but he won a couple. I didn't get to the Fall Jamboree last year because we were at Granite City, but he won the first two nights at the Fall Jamboree this past year. Yeah, really good racer. Young, takes chances, but not stupid chances, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
He's calculated, but he's, I like to say, you know, there's kind of a difference between those younger racers and the older racers. He's smart enough and has raced enough that he doesn't usually get himself put in stupid situations,
mm-hmm.
but he's still young enough. If there's 1 second that the competitor that you're racing with gives you a chance to breathe, you're going to jump on all over him. He's right there.
Yep. Let's talk. Go ahead, finish there.
He's not one that he doesn't really just settle in. You know, he's always looking for that next spot.
Right. Let's talk a little modified racing. Rodney Sanders picks up the win over Brandon Shepard. Talk about that race just a little bit. I didn't get a chance to go back and watch that race. I watched the late model race, but I didn't watch the win with Rodney Sanders. Tell us about that a little bit.
So the track had slowed down quite a bit. The mods were the last race of the night, and they ran an X-Mod race in between. So the track had really slowed down. It was nice. It was smooth and wide. Shepard started up front, and Rodney Sanders ran him down and passed him, and Shep was on the top and Rodney was on the bottom, and Brandon really closed in the last couple, three laps, but just wasn't able to get it. That Sanders winning that race, that gave him 4 out of 6 wins, and he won all 4 of them in a row. He won the Wednesday and the final Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and that gave him a $10,000 bonus that the event had on the line for 4 or more in the modifieds. So he won the championship, and he got an extra $1,000, and it's escaping me what he got that extra $1,000 for. But anyway, it was all told that Saturday night was worth $13,000 for him. It was $2,000 to win the race, $10,000 bonus, and $1,000 to win the championship was what it was.
Not a bad payday
of the points they kept. Yeah, that was a pretty good 25 lap race.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Trenton, let's talk a little bit about what's going on over at Race and Dirt this year. You guys have always been the leader when it comes to USMTS modified action, and doing the races live, promoting USMTS. You've had a great relationship with those guys over there for a long time. But now you're expanding a little bit, and you know, we've kind of pulled off the road. I'm old now, bud. I've decided to get off the road. I'm going to be 62 next month. And, you know, I'm getting a little tired after 13 years of traveling up and down the road, 180 days a year. I just got a little tired. And you guys are the ones that are going to pick up the ASCS regional action. I believe you're going to do the OCRS as well, right, in United Rebel Sprint Car Series. Just tell everybody what you guys are expanding into a little bit here.
Yeah, and we're working on a few events as well. I'll drop the one out here in just a minute. The sprint car side of things, you know, when you guys were sliding out, it left an opportunity. It's a whole nother world, undoubtedly. I don't make any bones about it. I love dirt late models. I love dirt modifieds. I'm expanding my personal horizons, and I'm broadening those as well here. But I'm interested to give the sprint cars a shot and see what happens. I don't have some huge long knowledge base, but I know what the job entails, and I know that we can do a good job with it. And I know we can be a good service to those teams and those people that are interested in it.
Right.
And, you know, I know I can tell you this, we have a great platform, and we have one of the most user-friendly, systems that's set up in place that is nearly fail-proof, and it's almost always up and running. It's going to be easy to access, easy to find. You can watch on any of your favorite apps. So, we were really positioned to be able to do this, and we, you know, it's like everything. If you're not moving forward, you're moving back, right?
So, right. Well,
so we're just kind of looking for the next step. And I didn't, you know, if people watching this really want to know how the sausage is made, there gets to be a lot of hard feelings over races and things, and races get stolen. And to be honest with you, a lot of times people get really pissed if we're just talking honest about it. And and there's a lot of backdoor shady dealings, and there's a lot of things that people think good people who are good people in the sport do,
right,
that would absolutely blow the average race fan's mind.
Oh,
in
I agree.
Saying that, in saying that, what the point I'm getting to, it was important for us to do something. I didn't want to create a lot of waves. I didn't want a bunch of drama. I didn't want somebody to feel like they were just going to get totally screwed over. And there's not a lot left, right? There's not much left that's out there short of some promoter going to somebody and saying, "Hey, we're working on a new event."
Right.
You know, there's the waters are pretty shark infested. So, yeah, it's kind of the next thing we were looking for. And with that as well, we're going to do a few events. We're partnering with Todd on the I-70 race, the Bushwhacker.
Oh, wow.
Just
how about
got announced.
That?
So we're partners on that. We're partners on, the race at Red Dirt Raceway on Friday, May 13th. And the Saturday between the battle at the Bullring and the King of America, we're partnering with Mike and Kyle Johnson at I-35 on a race there that's going to feature mods and B mods and stock cars, and I believe the fourth class were E mods, and we're still working through some of the specifics on all those races, but
right.
You know, that's kind of the next thing that's out there that all these streaming companies and things are doing, as to just kind of take that next step. And I don't think that we're ever going to have super pie in the sky, lofty expectations to, you know, to full on run 50 to 80 dates a year. But I would like to progress racing dirt to the point that, you know, we have 20 to 30 races a year that are something of our creation that we can partner with good people and good racetracks, or we can have all outright leases at places. Just kind of kicking the can around to see what some of the best avenues are. There's so much of this has changed. I had no idea in the beginning, my wildest imaginations, that it could ever do what it does, or that the industry would be receptive in this manner to what's happening.
Yep.
But it's kind of crazy to think. It's kind of overwhelming to think about it too. But
yeah.
But good, you know, good.
It's
a whole new set of problems, right? Like we used to hope we had enough money to cover the hotel bill, and we got the hotel bills covered, right? So on to something else.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, what are your thoughts about Johnny Allen taking over Humboldt?
Oh, I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's, yeah. I mean, he just lives down the road. That guy was Humboldt Speedway for years and years.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, he's partnered with JR and Katie Sartain, too. So, if not Ryan Whitworth, obviously, in the most perfect world, Ryan Whitworth wants to do it till he can't anymore. Well, that wasn't the case. So if you're going to ask me, if not Ryan, then who? Well, then that's my number one choice.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I told that to John Allen the other day on the phone when we were talking. So I think they'll do a great job. I don't think that place will lose its hometown charm, the family atmosphere that people have come to know and love about the place.
Mm-hmm.
Schedule looks very similar, maybe spiced up just a hair. So,
right.
So that's good too. Humboldt's in a tough spot because of the lack of population that is around that. It is always tough for them to, you know, sustain race cars weekly that want a race. And that's going to be their biggest challenge going forward is, where do we get these cars? How do we get new people in cars? And how do we put on events that are going to get every single car that we have at our disposal? And possibly with this now aligning with 81 Speedway, you know, it's about 2 hours away. Can we pull some of those cars to race over here to complement this program as well?
You know, Trent, I think part of their problem down there in the last couple of years, they had all that construction going on down there, you know, on the highway leading into it. And that made it very difficult to get into that racetrack, right? That couldn't have helped matters much, really.
No, it couldn't have. And, you know, too, the hardest part about... So say you're right there in Kansas City and you want to go to Humboldt.
Right.
Well, it's not hard to get to Humboldt, but it sucks to get out of town. I'm just being honest. That's the hardest part of that from Kansas City. It absolutely sucks to get out of town.
Yeah.
The way that you have to go and the direction to get there is not fun.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's always had that going against it from the north. And then when you compound the fact that they just randomly around their closed roads for 6 months out of the year is,
yeah.
I asked Whitworth, I said, man, can you take some of these decision makers out to breakfast and you keep a lane open?
Right.
He just says, bud, doesn't work that way.
Right. Well, right.
Okay.
You mentioned that you're going to co-promote out at I-70 Speedway. And you know, I-70, the old I-70 was my favorite track, Lakeside Speedway and I-70 yep. Speedway, Riverside Stadium. Those were the tracks that I grew up going to as a kid. I'd go on Friday night to Lakeside, the old Lakeside Speedway at 99th and Leavenworth Road. And then on Saturday night, I'd go to Riverside. And then on Sunday, we'd go to I-70 Speedway when they raced on Sundays there. Talk about I-70 Speedway and the facility. It's got to be one of those tracks that, you know, we talked about Valdo here just a little bit ago. I think the I-70's got to be inching in towards the top 10 of nicest racetracks in America.
Well, and I'm excited to see it. I mean, I haven't, I'll be honest, I've not been in it yet, but I've talked to Tommy Estes and watched a lot of video and seen a lot of pictures and whatever. I'll tell you this, that's a place USMTS needs to race. It's a place they need to race every year. And
right.
You talk about the increase in the purse structure. Well, that's going to force a lot of racetracks out. Just being honest, it's not mean, it's not rude. It just is what it is. It's just dollar bills is all it is.
Right.
I-70 Speedway is a place that I'll even go past needs to. That's a place USMTS is going to have to race every year,
right?
To continue to compete at the level that it is. Those are the types of places. There's a couple more that we were really close on this year. We just didn't quite get done. That I think will probably be on the schedule in the future, and their place is done to the I-70 level. So, the series is in kind of a unique spot now with the opportunities that are available. So
right, right.
This past year grabbed a lot of attention, and between Gateway and the Wild West Shootout, I can confirm to you, people that did not used to care one bit about the USMTS are now interested and are now paying attention to what's going on.
Yeah.
Does it cost a lot of money to race it? You damn right it does.
Right. But it pays a lot of money to win too, right?
It pays a lot of money and dollar bills for action. I put that series up with anything that turns left on dirt. Any series, any night of the week, on any racetrack, and prepped any single way that you want it done. I challenge you, you will find some that are good. That series is not outraced in any capacity, and that's due to the tremendous ability of those drivers that follow it.
Yeah, I've got to throw this in there. It's just a little local flavor, but Central Missouri Speedway drops the Mighty Modifieds, the A mods, and they're going to B mods.
Sounds to me like an opportunity for a USMTS race, doesn't it?
It really does, doesn't it?
That's first. I'd be lying to you if I told you. I saw the press release. I'm like, wow, there's an opening there now.
right. Well, that's if you could work with Earl. Just so you know.
Yeah, well, and I think I think we probably could. He's been good to us. We've streamed there some over the years, and I love the place.
It puts on some great race, and Earl's done a good job with that racetrack over the years. But I think Earl's starting to pump the brakes a little bit, right? I think that's what's getting ready to happen. Eventually somebody's going to have to take over Central Missouri Speedway because Earl is not a young man anymore, right?
Sure. Yeah, and I don't know any sorts of plans or whatever's going to happen there. I'll tell you this, I hope he just runs it till he's, you know, it's kind of like I said about La Posta last week out there in New Mexico. I'm just going to eat here until I'm sick of it, and I didn't get sick of it. So I just hope Earl runs that place till he's sick of it.
Well, I think there's a pretty good chance that could happen. Trent, before we let you go, Todd and I were talking a little bit in the open of the show. How about your Chiefs? You think they got a chance this weekend?
Man, I almost had tickets scored for that game Sunday, too. It's a little salt in the open wound there. Do I think they have a chance? So I was at the first game this year.
Oh, you were.
The lightning and the wind and the whatever.
All that.
I'm not going to lie to you. It was a freaking miserable experience. So, of all my good ones at Arrowhead, my company was good, but everything else sucked. I don't know. I don't know the thing. I feel like they're pretty good. You know, I think they're pretty good.
They're rolling right now. The Chiefs are rolling right now.
Okay, so you say that, but they should not have lost that game to the Bengals. So yes, they're doing pretty well. We've all come to have unrealistic expectations of what a football team should accomplish. Everybody, right. Every Chiefs fan does. We're all unrealistic with what we think should happen, myself included. Do I think they win when it comes right down to it? I'm going to tell you that I hope I'm wrong, but no, I think this is probably where the road ends for the Chiefs this week.
See, I'll never root against the Chiefs. I think they can win.
I didn't tell you that I don't want them to win.
I know that.
Yes,
I know
do
that.
Do I think they can win? I 100% think that they can win.
Right.
Do I think at the end of 60 minutes they will win? No, I think this is probably where it stops for them this year.
Yeah.
And there have been little things all season just there have been too many little inconsistencies along the way, and too many little speed bumps, and I just, you know, that 19 season wasn't perfect,
yeah,
but it showed you down the stretch you absolutely have to be perfect if you want to do that, and they are not as good as that team was in 19. I don't think they're as good as they were last year either.
Well, I don't know. That running back that we put in last weekend, he gave us a little bit of boost of life. You know what I mean?
He
made me feel like, why haven't they used this guy before this week?
Saving
him. Here's the other thing going deep into the playoffs, Scott, is we always had – now, Sammy Watkins might not have been healthy, but for
right.
two, three, four, five games every year he was there. But every time we went into the playoffs, we had elite number one and number two receivers. We do not have an elite number two receiver anymore.
That's right.
That's true. Yeah.
And that
sure.
and that could very well prove to be a detriment.
Todd wants to jump in.
I think our only saving grace on this whole thing is he's a young quarterback. It's tough, you know as well as I do, man. Mahomes did something silly the first year in his playoffs and second year. You know, that's just you just don't do that. But he hasn't had back-to-back good games, dominant games like that. If you go back and look at his games, he's had good games right after a dominant game. But this is the playoffs. This is a different type of atmosphere. And when you're a young quarterback, I mean, that's what we have to hold our hat on.
Pressure.
We have to hope that he can't have back-to-back in a pressurized situation as a playoff situation. I understand regular season's one thing. That's I'm like you, Trenton. This is a rough one for me to watch and root for, against. And I don't never root against Chiefs, but man, this is a tough one
either.
On paper. But like I said, I think our only hope is on this deal is he's not tested in the playoffs back to back weeks. And if he'd have had a bye that first week, I'd say we had no chance. But they played like we played, and you know that's why we play on Sundays.
All
so
right. give me your score, Trenton. What do you think?
I'll tell you this. So, you know, we got boat raced by them. We got boat raced by the Titans. the Titans do what they need to do. That's who we'll see in the championship game. I'm more worried about beating the prospect of having to beat the Bills than I am the prospect of having to beat the Titans.
Me too.
Right. Well,
so
you think the Titans is going to be the team? You think the Titans are going to beat Cincinnati?
If you look at your seedings and that holds true, I mean, I'm just comparing the two teams that absolutely destroyed us this year in the regular season.
Yeah,
Buffalo's the one that scares you.
So,
yeah, I think Buffalo is the single team that scares me the most out of the AFC teams.
Sure.
Right. And besides Cincinnati, Cincinnati does bother me a little bit because that quarterback is phenomenal.
He's good.
Yeah, for sure.
He's good. So you stack those three teams up there. You know why Buffalo scares you the most? It's because they have the quarterback that's as close on talent as Mahomes.
Yep.
That's left.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Trenton.
That's why. I mean, he's total game changer.
Yeah, for sure. Trenton, thanks for taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports, man. We look forward to talking to you about USMTS all year, ASCS action that's going on. We'd love to have you on regularly, and hopefully we will this summer.
Sounds good, man. Anytime.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate you.
You bet.
All right.
Yep. See you guys.
There you have it. Trenton Berry from RacingDirt.com. We're going to take a break. Mike Mulliner is going to join us next right here on Mostly Motorsports.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Rod M Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod M Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod M Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod M Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodmsupply.com.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive. Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
Courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tea time today.
As your power steering pump ages, seal leaks may occur, causing the power steering system to lose fluid. Your power steering system may also develop an annoying squeal, and the steering may become more difficult to handle. By using Lucas Power Steering Stop Leak, you will stop the seal leaks, reduce slack in rack and pinion, eliminate the squeals and hard spots in your power steering system. It is guaranteed to stop seal leaks or your money back. Lucas Power Steering Stop Leak. It works.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor. We want to thank everybody for tuning in on the show right now. I can't hear myself. There we go. I got it right now. It was my little cord over here, Todd. It was plugged in, and we had a little problem. So that's welcome right. Back, everyone, to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. Made in America, sold to the world. Joining us now is the winner of the Wild West Shootout, Mike Muller. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, doing good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man. A big payday for you on Sunday. A lot of money. We were just talking to Trenton Barry from RacingDirt.com. He was down there doing the pit reporting at Valdo. And it seems like every time one of these big money races comes along, you cash in.
Well, they definitely get my attention a little more than them small ones. So
yeah,
but
sure.
We do work hard at it, and you never know, man. You just do the best you can do. But my career was kind of odd when I first started racing. I won some 25,000s and won some big ones before I ever won one that paid like 10,000. So it was kind of odd, but I don't mind if it wants to work that way. I'm good with it.
Yeah, you went down to this great facility that Royal Jones put together. Talk about that place, man. It seemed like you were getting around there really good, but what a venue that place is.
Oh, it is. Yeah, we went down to in 20. We went to the World of Outlaw races there, and right off the bat, I thought, man, this is a cool racetrack and a nice facility, and he's got the whole deal,
Yeah.
And but that's one of the determining factors in us going out this year was just how I just thought, man, the track's just a really good racetrack, and that goes a long way with my team. We really want to go to good racetracks, and so yeah, he's got it covered there. The racetrack's good, and you know, they just treat you real good out there and glad to have you. And Kearns and Ben and just everybody, Trent and everybody that puts that deal on and makes it happen. They got on a jewel of a racetrack for sure.
Yeah. Well, you must love that facility, a two-time winner of the Wild West Shootout. Talk about this race. You know, there for a moment it looked like Jake Timm was going to win that thing until that late caution, and then you took advantage of it.
Yeah, he was. You know, it was kind of the track was they started a little earlier on Sunday, and the track kind of got dry, so they had to go back and rework it, and that made it really fast. You know, early in the race, and you know, just it's hard for these. It's hard. The guys that prepared the track out there done an excellent job. I'm really not sure who was working on it, but whoever it was doing a good job because, you know, with different starting times and trying to work with the broadcasting and all that to make sure we got a good track for the fans, you know, they navigated that really well. But they started a little earlier on Sunday, so they had to go back and re-prep it right before the race, and that made it really fast. And Jake, man, he was gone early, and he was trucking, and he was a little faster than I was, and I thought, well, I can't catch him, and I don't need to kill my tires trying. So I just kind of chilled out there and made sure I had some tires there late. And I noticed that his sidewalls had turned kind of blue. That's a good sign the tires are hot, you know. So he got in a little trouble on his tires, but he was gone. And later in the race, I had a little better tire and was able to get by him.
Yeah, right. That's the experience that you have over maybe some of these young guys that are coming up through the ranks. You know, we see guys in all forms of motorsports. These young kids are coming up through the ranks, and they just drive the wheels. They get their elbows up, and they just drive as hard as they can. But that experience that you have and all the wins that you've had over your career, that kind of comes into a play there at the end, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, you're always learning something, and heck, you know, racing's always evolving. So the cars, especially, you know, so we're learning all the time right there with them. But yeah, there's sometimes, you know, you get some experience, and in my career, a lot of times I've kind of fell into some stuff because, well, if I can't beat them, let's not beat ourselves, and then you know, right, maybe they'll beat yourself, and sometimes that works out. But that boy done a good job, and honestly, you know, we can't forget one thing now. There was a wreck, you know, they had a restart, and I got by him on that restart, and man, he and I had started an exchange of slide jobs that who knows where that was going to lead to, right?
Right, right.
And so the caution come out in the middle of the slide job I was ahead on, so then we restarted with me in the lead on the second one, so that could have went a lot of ways there. If the caution would have come out a lap later, a lap sooner, you know, maybe he'd have been in, so a lot of things got to go your way, and yeah, I try to be aware of that. So, you know, I called a real good break there. I slid him, and he had turned back under me. And actually, when the caution came out, it was mine to get back. You know, he had kind of got in a better position, I think, than I was even in. So, so it worked out. But I can't say, you know, experience played a role. But that caution, I actually, with I think Tyler and Sheppy and all those guys got in a crash. Ricky Weiss, when all that happened, that was really the thing that probably outweighed the experience that thing did, you know.
Right. Well, that racetrack down there, it seems like, you know, when you get out to the west, like when you get down to the southwest, you know, down in that area, the surfaces aren't really, I'll just say it, they're not always that great. I traveled for 13 years with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour doing their broadcast for Racing Boys, right? And so we traveled down in that area, and a lot of those racetracks, it just seems like the dirt or whatever it is isn't suitable a lot of times, you know. But it seems like what Royal's got going on with the surface down there at Votto is a little more exceptional compared to some of the other racetracks down that way.
Yeah, the surface, I'm not sure what he's actually got on the surface compared to what's in the pits, but whatever's on that surface don't look like the same as the pits to me. So I think he's probably, you know, brought a little dirt in or got a mixture of something on there to make the surface better. But yeah, he's, you know, Royal, he's a racer himself, and he understands. Nothing's going to bum him out worse than a bad track, you know. So
right.
So he's come in there, and you know, he's a fascinating guy, you know, to talk to, and
good man.
You know, he kind of, I don't know, he's smart on a lot of levels, and he's able to come in there and get to, not only, he didn't stop short of built that nice facility, and then he knew the main thing that mattered was the surface. So he's got something different on there. You're right, though. A lot of tracks in that part of the country, you know, they want to rubber up and wear the tires bad, and the track really races like a Midwest track. It races a whole lot like a, you know, a track out in your neck of the woods or over in Illinois, you know, so right, Iowa.
Right. Right.
So
right.
It's definitely some blacker type dirt, and I'm telling you, every single race out there was down to the wire, you know. So and I think you know, and in the late models for sure. So he's got her figured out on that too.
Right. You know, I went back and I was checking out some video this morning. I was watching some of the races, and I don't think I've been as impressed as the time that you came from 26th to 2nd there at the World 100 at Eldora. And you came out of the B to get into the A, and then you worked your way all the way to the front. Talk about that race just a little bit.
Well, you know, those races, you know, now are kind of drawn out events. You know, you're out there 3 or 4 days racing now, so we started off a little slow and kind of worked at it through the week, and by Saturday we had got pretty good. And Tyler and I were, and Herb, we were racing in the heat, and he was probably going to win the heat, and I was going, I think, run second. And he got in a wall a little bit, and when he did, he kind of bounced off the fence, and I turned under him, and it ripped as I went by him, my right rear quarter panel caught his left rear. Mm. And it, you know, it ripped the whole back end of the car off. And so we come in, and honestly, you know, we didn't think we'd even make it out there. And Bernie, one of my friends there that goes with us, he never lost faith. He literally was in there grooving tires, and we didn't even have a back tire on the car. So that's when the whole team pulled together as one and prevailed. But it was definitely a cool thing for us to pull off and get up through there. It looked like a few times we were probably out of it, you know, there at the end. I made the transfer through the B just barely. You know, I started 17th in the B.
Right.
And got to, I think, second or third in the B, and then 26th in the feature. But it's just, you know, it's fun when you got a good car, man, especially Eldora. The Eldora is just one of the tracks you can't hide a bad car. And so we got to set up right on it and went right up through there and just trucked right up right around the bottom of the track, right up to the front. And but that's happened for me a lot of that's went bad for me a few times up there too. Get out there, and I've won my heat races up there, started on front row and run whatever, you know, 15th. So it's a humbling place, and it's just such a good racetrack that you know, the driving matters a lot, but it, the car, you cannot do it without the car. That's the one track that you better have a fast car on.
Right. If I'm not mistaken, if I'm correct, when the race was getting ready to start, you went out on the racetrack without your helmet on. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, we were just, you know, we got them little quarter-inch body bolts that we bolted a lot of stuff together with. We didn't even have time to put rivets in. We were just threading bolts through blank holes and hoping they would hold.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we were, before, probably when they were blowing the horn to go on the track, I was standing on the rear deck, basically looked like I was putting sheet metal screws in, just trying to hold the body on the car. And jumped in the car, threw a helmet on, and, you know, in the middle of all this, you're on your spring smasher and shock dyno and everything else.
Right.
So we had a whole lot going on. So, yeah, when I pulled on the track, I was I just said, let me get on this track. I don't think they'll start if I don't have a helmet on, you know. So so I got out there and just got on the track to try to just get out there. And luckily, you know, they had some patience with me and let me get going. But, yeah, it was down to the wire. It was down to you don't have time to fasten your helmet.
That's crazy. That's unbelievable. Hey, before we let you go, I've got to talk about C.J. Rayburn. You know, I grew up going to the old Lakeside Speedway, not the new Lakeside. They call it new, even though it's been around for 30 years, right, the Lakeside Speedway that we have now. But the original Lakeside Speedway was at 99th and Leavenworth Road, and C.J. Rayburn used to come there and race at that racetrack. The Kosciuszkis used to race there, guys like Gene Clax. There was a lot of great racers that raced at the old Lakeside Speedway. But I know that you were very close with C.J. Talk about your relationship with him a little bit.
Well, you know, I live right on the Tennessee-Kentucky border. I actually live just inside of Tennessee. And CJ grew up about an hour and 15, 20 minutes or something north of where I live at up in Kentucky. That's kind of his old stomping grounds when he was a kid. I think he probably had a soft spot for the guys that raced in that area. And I raced a lot at Ponderosa and Lake Cumberland and all those central Kentucky tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were out racing modified, you know, and I was just working every day and doing my thing and racing on the weekends, and I was having some success and winning some races, and he kind of, you know, drew his attention, and he started kind of making some things happen to help me race a late model some. And just from there, you know, he taught me so much and was so good to me. I was just amazed at how good he was to people, you know, whether you were a guy just starting or you were, you know, at the time when I came along, Billy Moyer, Shannon Babb, Don O'Neill were pretty much owning the world in the Rayburn cars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he was just so good. I just never met anybody like him, and take racing out of it, just on a lot of things. I've never met anybody like him, a guy that was, I don't know, just authentic and didn't mind. He was one of the few people that could chew your butt and you'd know is to help you, you know. And he was just a good guy. I don't know how else to explain it, but I'm going to miss him. And, you know, I think I said on the broadcast out at the Wild West Shootout, you know, would be the other day was the first race that I'd won in my whole late model career that he wasn't my first phone call, you know. So it was a
– right.
It's a bummer that he's gone, but he enriched all of our lives and he'll go down, you know, his legacy will go on forever. And I know the rest of my career I'll be winning races with things he taught me, you know. So it's
– yeah.
He definitely he was a person that come into my life that changed it for the better.
Yeah. If there was one thing – that CJ taught you during your friendship with him, what would it be?
Well, he helped me to understand, you know, it was no secret the other day that Bobby and I, Pierce, we had a crash going for the win the other day, and mm-hmm. and it got a little heated. I got a little, you know, he done some things and I said some things, and you know, it wasn't something I regret. And I talked to Bobby after the race the other day, and I, you know, man, we're good to go. You know, we both know we were racing for it, and you know, it didn't work out for either one of us. But you know, more than a day later, we're over. You know, and everything's good. And CJ kind of helped me understand that everybody's got a situation, everybody's got, you know, things, reasons they're doing things for. And he was, because I've seen him just deal with a lot of BS, you know, with mm-hmm. all the people he's dealing with and racers and guys taking advantage of him and just, you know, this and that. I've seen a lot of that.
Right.
And he helped me understand and helped me understand that, you know, people and why they do what they do and just be, I guess, and just realize that, you know, and be aware of how the world works. And, you know, and he did that, and he just had a way about him that was, you know, I first started racing. He got me into late models, and we went out racing. And you know, basically went broke, and he bailed
that.
Me out.
Yeah.
And when I got back going, you know, I got on this roll. I won some money. Everything's going great, and he's selling cars, and I'm winning races. And you know, when it come time to settle up, he's like, you know, he kind of taught me that he ain't doing this for the money. He's doing it for the love of it and for winning. And for all the right reasons. And he just taught me a lot of things, but probably one of the main things he's taught me is just how to treat people good. You know, I've seen CJ deal with, you know, he would have engineers in his house one day from the IndyCar world, and then the next day give a guy to live that maybe his old lady ran him off. You know what I mean?
Might be so down on his luck a little bit, right? Yeah.
He would, yeah, and he just taught me a lot of things, how to treat people and a better way to do things. And I was lucky to have a good upbringing anyway, but he just that's what I see. When I think of him and the things he taught me is, you know, how to get through the world and enjoy yourself and enjoy your life and have a good time and, you know, live once. And he really opened my eyes to a lot of things.
You know, for me, I think being able to forgive somebody is one of the greatest qualities anybody could have, right? You know what I mean? Being able to get past something, I think that's very important, because so many people dwell on things for too long or you know, have a problem with their family and they don't talk to a parent or a brother or a sister or a good friend that they've been friends with their entire life. You know, if you can just get past that and forgive people, I think that's a great quality.
Yeah, yeah. He was just so good at that, because I seen him have so much. You know the old term skin in the game.
Right.
This guy had skin in the game like you'd never seen. I mean, he had dozens of race cars out there floating around, just hundreds of thousands of dollars of people's, you know, just taking out the door with his equipment and hitting the road with it. And he just trusted everybody to make it work. And for the most part, they would. But in the times that it didn't, he would help me understand why it didn't and what this person's thinking. And you know what I mean? He just taught me a lot of things. But yeah, that's one of the qualities he taught me. And, you know, all these guys, we, especially in the racing world, hey, I love these guys. They're right. My brothers, really. You know, we're out here racing and
right.
going at it tooth and nail every night. But at the end of the day, there's nobody in the world more like me than the guy I'm out here beating fenders with, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a good quality for sure. And we all get caught up in it, but I've never got mad about anything I didn't care about, you know?
Right.
So when people get mad, sometimes they care a lot, but it's been a good deal. He was so good to us. And I was real close to him and I understood, you know, what he meant to the sport. I assumed everybody else did, but since his death there a couple weeks ago, I realized that, man, he's important to everybody. Like his legacy is going to go on forever and ever, yeah. You know? So that's cool. And, you know, and another thing a lot of people don't know about CJ, like that was almost his second life. You know, he never really got into this stuff till he was in his 40s.
So
you know, he was my age when he got started.
Wow.
And he told me he never drove a race car till he's like 45.
That's crazy,
and,
isn't it?
That's crazy. Yeah, you know, yeah. And Sherman Barnett, you know, I got to have some experience with him out there, you know, this weekend, him and Christy, you know, on the Harley store there in El Paso, Las Cruces.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the same way, you know, the amazing stuff. And it gives you inspiration because the amazing stuff these people have accomplished. And, hey, they were basically middle-aged guys before they ever really did any of that stuff.
Wow.
So it's pretty amazing. But yeah, CJ's legacy is going to go on forever and ever. He's an inspiration to a lot of us people that what you can be and what you can go out of this world is remembered, because you're going out of this world with the same stuff you come in with, nothing, you know?
Right.
All you're going to leave is how you treated people and what people think of you. And,
right. He touched a lot. You
want to talk about success. Yeah,
he touched a lot of people's lives over the years. That's for sure. I guess you're about ready to head down to Florida, right?
We are. Yeah, we're probably going to do things a little different with my team. You know, right now it's sad to say, but the resources are kind of hard to come by. The motors, you know, we're having a hard time getting motors, tires. You know, just a lot of things are difficult right now. And I've got an opportunity to drive for Jason Rowan. In some races in Florida, and I may do more than I anticipated doing with him. So we're in the process of figuring out what races we're going to be in the Delt car and which one's in the Jason Rowland's car. But at the end of the day, they're both Longhorn cars with Clements motors, and they'll both say 157 and Bill Stein shocks. It's all the same stuff. It's just, we're going to collaborate a little bit this year with Jason because of all the races. For example, the Belleville, Kansas races, 2 days after Eldora, you know, so we're gonna be in Jason's car at some of those races. We're actually navigating that today to figure out what races we're gonna do and what. But Florida will be starting next weekend, so the game on quick.
You got to recharge your battery a little bit. I take it you drove all straight through all the way home, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I usually can't do that for some reason. I guess I was wound up this time. I was able to. Tear out of there, and I got home last night about two this morning and slept a little bit. We're out there today unloading, so the racing life's a lot of work, you know, so we're out here unloading and getting everything ready to head back to Speed Weeks and make a plan there. And starts quick, but I love it, man. There's more races this year than I've ever seen on a schedule, more money than I've ever seen with everything that's going on, people like you and all the broadcasting and racing boys, you know, I was watching your on Facebook Live. I was watching you there with Trenton, and you know, I'm just so impressed with how well people are doing things now and promoting our sport. It's really cool.
Well, we appreciate that. And Mike, congratulations on the win out there at the Western World, the Wild West Shootout, I should say. Western World. I don't know where that came from. The Wild West Shootout. And congratulations on that. Good luck down in Florida. Hopefully you come out of there with a couple wins down there as well.
Well, that's awesome. Thanks for having me on. I got everybody on here to let them know, get on your website. You got some cool t-shirts. I just ordered the t-shirt with with a helmet and says Kansas City on the bottom of it. It's pretty cool with little lightning bolts.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you got some cool merchandise. I love your deal, man. You're doing a good job, and I appreciate you having me on.
All right, Mike. Thanks so much again. We appreciate you. Good luck to you down there in Florida, Speed Weeks.
Yes, sir. Have a good one. Thank you.
All right. There you have it, Mike Mueller joining us on the show. And, man, what a good guy, right? How about that? You know, what he said about C.J. Rayburn is inspiring, right? Everybody should try to be the person that C.J. Rayburn was to everybody else. You know, he touched so many people's lives. And, you know, when anytime you lose somebody of that stature, it's tough to swallow, right? C.J. Rayburn, and I didn't know that. He didn't start racing until he was in his mid-40s. That's unbelievable, right? It's crazy stuff. So, all right. Well, listen, folks, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. Made in America, sold to the world. I want to thank Austin and Todd for producing today's show. My partner, Kirk Elliott, for helping out as well. We'll do it all over again tomorrow. It starts at 12 p.m. Central Time. We hope that you'll join us right here on Mostly Motorsports, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. Made in America, sold to the world. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
Rod M Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod M Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod M Supply has an assortment of Rod M's radius rods and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod M Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodmsupply.com.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Missouri's must play.
Whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.